function to function. Justice for the human family, we demand it. Justice, truth, freedom, equality's a must. Us decolonization of the planet, so bust this. People be the power, now we build the justice. Pouring at system divinations, how we build the justice. Welcome to planet to the podcast, build the justice. Build the justice, build the justice, build. Is to add on or do away with justice.
Welcome to Building Justice, a podcast by Sacramento State University, Center of Race, Immigration, and Social Justice. We explore critical issues affecting our communities with the hopes of creating a healthier and more just world. Your host for today is myself, Rosalba Gomez Batista. I am an Indigenous woman from the Mixtec Nation, representing the Nusavi and Nusnavico community. I am also a third-year undergraduate student studying political science with a minor in ethnic studies. I am currently the president of Advocates for Social Justice located here on campus and a member of CRISJ. To talk about honoring Indigenous student voices, decolonizing academia, and our future.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Mesa. I am a Guatemalan and Mexican-American and a first-generation student. I am a fourth-year political science and journalism major, and I am also the president of the Central Americans for Empowerment Club here at Sac State.
Hello, my name is Lillian Weiss, and I am Wukchumni, a tribe located in Visalia, California, and I am also a Puerto Rican Hawaiian. I am a first-year political science major, and I'm also minoring in Native American studies.
Hello, my name is Maria Elena. I am descended from the Caxcan and Otomi people of central and southern Mexico. I am the secretary for the Enit Club, Ensuring Native Indian Traditions, and I am a fourth-year sociology major.
Hello, my name is Alejandra Lopez. I am Mexican-American, specifically from Oaxaca and the Central Coast in Santa Maria. I am also a third-year political science major student at Sacramento State.
We would like to take this opportunity to acknowledge the land our campus sits on today and the stewards of this land across the Sacramento area, the Miwok, Meru, and the Nisean people, in addition to one of the federally recognized tribe in the county of Sacramento, Wilton Rancheria. While they have endured colonization by three nations, they have continued to keep language and tradition and have done their best to maintain stewardship over the land. We would like to thank and recognize their resilience and willingness to continue to share their practice and knowledge with the people living in present-day California. We are humbled by their continued action to ensure that their culture and practices go forward to future generations. We hope that these words direct you in ensuring that you leave Sacramento a better place for future generations. I would like to begin this episode as in beginning the conversation of what does Indigenous sovereignty mean? So to you all, what does being Indigenous mean to you?
Well, to me, being Indigenous means practicing your culture. I know a lot of people, especially in tribes here and down south, really care about what percentage you are, but technically I do not fall under blood quantum laws, but I highly consider myself as an Indigenous woman because I actively practice my culture and speak my language.
Being Indigenous to me means being of the land, and not just the land that you currently occupy, but the land in general, and caring for that land and caring for the water and ensuring that things are better for future generations.
I, Rosalba, would like to expand my definition on what does Indigenous mean by acknowledging that being Indigenous or carrying that title also comes with responsibility, not just to oneself and as in your own sovereignty, but it's also to your community and beyond transnational borders, which they extend for myself in Oaxaca, Mexico. And being Indigenous also means that I am here today due to my family and past generation efforts of resiliency, knowing that being Indigenous is more than just a title, but rather an act of labor that I can contribute back to future generations and my past generations. My next question for you all, since you are all currently undergraduate students attending Sacramento State University, I would also like to ask, what has been your experience here as students carrying the identity of being Indigenous?
I in particular do not identify as an Indigenous, but as a Central American and Mexican American. My experience here at Sac State has been a little bit rocky, I would say. I do identify as Mexican American, but being an undergraduate student and trying to reclaim my Central American identity, I have struggled to, because in particular there aren't a lot of Central American studies classes or Central American faculty that I could say I feel supported by.
I would support Elizabeth, Maria Elena, in her statements of kind of feeling excluded on this campus, even in spaces that are said to be for me.
I would also like to share, I haven't been on campus as frequent until this past spring semester due to COVID. And since I've attended Sacramento State University in person, I have seen the lack of recognition for Indigenous students. And this encompasses students in Central America, in Latin America, and even from my own community or Native American experience. But I would like to see and have Sacramento State build that support and build that recognition for Indigenous students.
I, Lily, would like to add on to that, saying that even here within my first semester, my first 2 months of school, I've seen very small numbers in the Innit Club, not much participation. I remember when I was researching the school, they very hyped up about how much they care for the Indigenous community, and not only is there low participation within the student body, but also are they excluding a very large portion of it, not taking in the consideration of those south of us, the Latinx community. They only are really concerned about California Native community, which I am lucky enough to be a part of, so I'm able to participate in these activities, but they are neglecting other states and other Indigenous people, and I find that upsetting because we all deserve equal support. We've all dealt with colonization and the struggles that came with it.
Alejandra, you also mentioned that your roots are connected back to Oaxaca, Mexico, and that your roots are also connected with the Central Coastal region of California. So I would like to ask you, how has it been moving from such a large distance where it's like heavily found and surrounded by community, coming to a school where that doesn't necessarily give that type of support or necessarily seeing that type of representation here?
So moving from the Central Coast to the Sacramento County has been very different. It was very shocking. Just coming over here, yes, Sac State is very diverse. I see a lot of people, different races inside my classrooms, but I do not see a lot of staff that look like me or represent in any way my identities. Yes, the resources may be there, but it's because I'm looking for them. I have to look for them. I have to, you know, talk to not just one person, but talk to multiple people in order to, you know, find the resources that I'm looking for, because no one talks about it, especially coming to Sac State during a pandemic, even though here, just last semester, it was really hard just not finding resources available to me, or having to just be frustrated having to go from one place to another trying to find the resources that can help me.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Alejandra. I would also like to add that it is very difficult, especially trying to find a space for my own being. Being Oaxaqueño, I am extremely proud to carry that identity. However, much of the Hispanic community here is focusing on the Latinx community, which is at times exclusive towards the indigenous communities in the southern region of Mexico. And even then, some of the resources provided here at Sacramento State focuses on Native American students. And yet again, I am not accepting the university's proposal of having me in a box of choosing whether to be a Latina or to be a Native American, because I am more than the options that they have for me here. A quick question for you all. I would like to ask you, what does it mean for you to be empowered here at Sacramento State? And what does empowerment look like to you? And what type of resources are you emphasizing on, and where would that stem off of?
I, Lily, would like to see a lot more voices, like hear voices, see people who look like me. Because oftentimes it's just a lot of people who aren't of color, or really high faculty, just saying that there are resources, but it's usually very vague. They're saying that they're here for us, but who can I trust that knows and relates to what I am going through? I know that people are aware that our life hasn't been easy, but how can we trust their resources if it's created by people who aren't us? So I'd like to, for empowerment for me, is seeing people that I can look up to, who I can relate to, seeing them become accomplished. So either networking opportunities or just more faculty who can relate to us on a personal basis and better suit our needs.
Maria Elena, I think empowerment for me and my experience here has been lifting up my voice and trying to let other students know that they're valid and they should be okay with being recognized here. And as far as the institution goes, if we want to talk about the fact that they're a Hispanic-serving institution, but they're not serving all those people they put under the Hispanic label, are they?
My next question for you all, as in the title of this episode, is called Decolonizing Academia. What does that mean to you, and where would you like to see that begin, and where would you like to see that grow?
Elizabeth Mesa here. One of the things that I would like to see more in academia is probably the acknowledgement of United States interventions in Central and Latin America and how that has contributed to not only my experiences as a first-generation student, but also the experiences of my parents and their journey to migrating here to the U.S.
I, Lily, would personally like to see some information be corrected. I know a lot of times due to poor education back then, those same facts keep being taught. I know personally one of my experiences was being told that Native Americans hunted mammoths, even though we're not alive in the same time periods in the slightest. So I feel like this is a time where we could all look through our syllabuses and through our textbooks and make sure they're actually accurate. And that is something that I'd like to see. It's something as basic as making sure we're teaching all of our student current information. And yeah.
Maria Elena, I think decolonizing academia, while it's important to bring in more information and correct information, it's also important to understand that we as students, it's very impactful to get that information, and it can be very heavy on us, and we aren't really given, we're here for 16 weeks every semester, we're not really given the chance to process that information that has impacted our lives or the lives of those who came before us.
Alejandra here. decolonizing academia, I do feel like creating indigenous studies such as like workshops, minors, or majors would really help a lot of the people like myself who are kind of in this, not bubble, but kind of like trying to embrace not just the what they kind of like try to generalize us as like Latinas, Mexicans, Hispanics, because like myself, I feel like I have a lot of past trauma and experiences that that are not helping me embrace being indigenous, just because, like, for example, the recent social media audio leaking of LA former city president council Nudie Martinez spoke about I think it was like quote unquote short brown people. And to me, that was, when I first heard it, it was not shocking. It wasn't shocking because I've heard that term like my whole entire childhood, and it wasn't shocking. But then later I realized like it came from someone like that was a Latina, that is supposed to uplift me, someone who I'm supposed to look up to. And it was just frustrating and so many mixed emotions. And just creating a space for creating a space for everyone, especially indigenous students, and addressing this this issue, because I haven't seen anyone address this issue in a correctly manner.
I would like to say it has definitely been hard on all of us. Being Puerto Rican, I've never really been proud of saying that. I have been bullied a lot for my Native American heritage here as a Wichumni, and also as a Puerto Rican. I know there are a lot of Latino people who have experienced racism within their own community for being darker, for being different looking. It's just really hard to get put on this general term of Latino, Native American, Indigenous, because it really doesn't show how diverse each community is, but each different tribe or person deals with against each other even. It was just really hard for it to spread like this and not have the proper commentary we deserve.
When talking about decolonizing academia, we also need to take into consideration how to transform the colonial system that occurs within our institution, holding our educators and the knowledge that they provide us accountable. So some of the initiatives that could possibly be taken within the departments and hopefully beyond the courses could be as in decolonizing their syllabus and the types of readings that they provide to their courses, as in having more diverse voices or more BIPOC voices as well. And yet again, decolonizing academia is not done solely just on the shoulders of Indigenous students or students from our backgrounds, but it also has to be supported through the institution itself and faculty being able to listen to us and understand where we're coming from. This isn't solely just for us, but this is also to take into consideration of the future generation, how this education that's provided at a public institution is also very intersectional with other fields of study. So my main question for you all is, what can the listeners do, such as hearing your stories, hearing your experiences here at Sacramento State? What would you like the listeners to take out of, and where would you like them to either support you or see those resources, whether extending to audience.
Maria Elena, I'll start. I think that listeners, for me, you can acknowledge that we are here. We're not past. We are very much present. And I think, you know, just maybe encouraging this institution to support us more and hear our voices and uplift us and not, you know, pit us against each other.
I, Lily, would like to say, even if you do not have personal experience with this, even if you don't really understand what we're talking about or what different things we mean, something as simple as sharing or liking or showing someone else who may understand could be so beneficial, or just to help spread it to other Latino people, other Indigenous people, show them that they're not alone, that there are people here on campus who want to support them, could just be the kind of uplifting someone needs that day.
Elizabeth here. I support the previous speakers before me. I also believe that increasing visibility, representation, and awareness of these issues not only helps us further find a solution to these issues, but just acknowledging that they exist is the first step in improving our experiences here as students at Sac State.
I, Rosalba, have a few initiatives that Sac State can take upon themselves, whether it's student leadership or leadership as in the faculty or even within the departments. It can begin with providing representation and spaces for all Indigenous students, such as beyond communities that are extended past transnational borders. I understand Sacramento State has a Native Student Center that focuses on Native students' needs. However, how expansive the resources that are provided could actually be an avenue for inclusivity and intersectionality. In addition, I would also like to see Sacramento State provide opportunities to Indigenous students, whether from all communities, to build a connection between the lawmakers here in the Sacramento area, or even just in general, with the Indigenous communities, as they can understand the policies that are built and impacting Indigenous communities all throughout California. In addition, within the educational portion, I would like to see more of a diverse staff, faculty, mentors within this institution that represents Indigenous leadership from all communities. I would also like to see more funding and to provide events on Indigenous People Day, Native American Heritage Month, and International Indigenous People Day. And those are just like a few of the opportunities that they can jump upon. For one, it could amplify, as what Elizabeth has mentioned, it could amplify our presence here on campus, but as well as the external issues or just our knowledge that is very much alive today. And again, I would like to see Sacramento State formally state the rename of Christopher Columbus Day as Indigenous People Day, and solely as Indigenous People Day. Not only will we have a proper title, but I would also like to see committed action behind the recognition that will further support Indigenous knowledge, autonomy, and culture retrievation on campus. So my question for you all is, what's the importance of this? What do you want your audience to gain from this episode?
Maria Elena, that we're not a monolith community, whatever box you want to put us in. We represent diversity just within each of ourselves as individuals. So I think that's what I would like for you to take away from listening to this today.
I, Alejandra, I I do feel. So I feel like this is a very important issue because it's hurting a lot of students. It's hurting all of us, and it hurts to feel no support or no mentorship available to us, especially in our faculty, because it's sad to realize or just point out that even though Sac State is one of the top diverse universities, its staff is not diverse. Just this year, Sac State hired a lot of diverse faculty, and why just this year? If when I applied to Sac State in fall of 2019, that's what was eye-catching to me, seeing that diversity and seeing that there's people that look like me or people that I feel included in, and coming to campus and not feeling like I fit in, or feeling that I have to be in my little bubble, is upsetting and frustrating because I don't feel that support around me.
Thank you for sharing, Alejandra. And again, I would just jumping on to what you said, I also feel that there is a lack of support, recognition, and resources, and just lack of acknowledgement, honestly, lack of acknowledgement for all Indigenous students from all Indigenous backgrounds and communities, because again, we are very much present and we deserve to be here. We deserve to be represented, and especially from, like what you mentioned, a university that claims on their diversity, but I don't feel that sense of representation here. And it is actually very harmful, and it actually contributes to post-colonialism, and then it contributes to generalization of our identities, and furthermore, it continues into indigeneity erasure. Not only do I want to see more students attending this campus from our communities, but I would also like them to feel supported, not just solely by students like us, but I would like them to feel supported from faculty, because this shouldn't be normalized. This shouldn't just be accepted and brushed off. There's a reason why we're here, and there's a reason why our communities still continue to thrive, because we are built on resiliency. And I would like the school to acknowledge that we're not going anywhere and making sure that the indigeneity erasure continues no longer.
I think this episode in particular is important because having the voices of students who have felt unwelcomed or felt like they were unsupported is important to address in order to avoid this happening in the future for future students to attend the school. I think that, for example, being president of the Central Americans for Empowerment Club, I've wanted to create a safe space for Central American students and make sure that they feel like they're listened to, they're heard, and that there's a space and a platform for them to share their experiences apart from the Latinx community.
Lily here, I just really want to reiterate what we've been saying, in that just because somewhere is diverse does not mean it is inclusive. A lot of times people like to group those two words together, but if this campus was really inclusive, we would not feel pushed aside. They may allow us to be here, but doesn't mean that they allow us to feel included. And that is something that we really need to highlight, the difference in that. Yes, I will agree that Sac State is a very diverse campus. All my classrooms, you see a lot of different people, but does not mean that we are included in the conversation. Does that mean that there are a lot of resources for us to be included? Yes, there are some, but are they enough? Is there enough for everyone? And are they properly told for us? So I hope after hearing this podcast, you might feel inclined to learn how not included that we are, and maybe think of new resources or find someone who can help us.
You just listened to the Building Justice podcast. The information contained in this podcast represents the views and opinions of the hosts and guests and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Sacramento State or Chris J.
All the penalties and the rewards based on the actions. Now, time for building justice. Building justice. Time.